Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Center Gen X and Dr. Julie McCallan. I want to remind everybody, you can always get our shows, the podcast, the link to whatever your favorite podcast or Rumble is at ChuckandJulie.com on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. Well, the president is speaking right now, telling us after being the usual 40 minutes late, telling us how we're going into thermonuclear war. Well, not exactly, but who knows what we're doing. Fox is pushing war all the whole hour. He's just saying he made all these calls and the Russians are doing that. So, you know, I don't think he's announcing anything in particular, but it's just, please don't discuss COVID or the border or
the DCC, the internal polling.
Yeah, we got to wag the dog as hard as we can. As everybody who listens to our program knows, we love to have people who are bright, intelligent, and articulate who can express the other side from us on lots of issues. Without, you can have a robust debate without their feelings getting hurt, and they can give as good as they can get. One of those people we love is Doug Friedenash. He's a former city attorney for Denver under Hancock. He was the chief of staff for Hickenlooper when he was governor. He's a partner in the Brownstein Law Firm, and he makes a weekly column in the Denver Post on Sundays often, and it's must-read reading. It's really great stuff. And we've got Doug with us right now. He's a partner in the Brownstein Law Firm, we all love. Doug, good to see you.
Hey, thank you for your time. Well,
you guys, and if you have articulate people on, I'm not sure why you had me.
Well, some get through the net, you know. You wrote a column last Sunday, which I read and enjoyed. Could this be the spark for a GOP revolt from Trump? Why don't you tell us about it and why you decided to write it?
Well, I'm looking at the landscape across the country, and there are a lot of interesting races. And it seems to me there's this pull within the party. I mean, first of all, I think Donald Trump still controls the Republican Party, certainly the base of the party. Yep. And I think that's been evidenced over the last year after he's left office. He's dominated the conversation. And there's a wing that has taken him on. It's a smaller wing. And then there's a group that I think is kind of hides their head in the sand and hoping that it'll all go away and they can just run for office without having to do anything or weighing in on either side. And, you know, you've seen a lot of I think you've seen the establishment probably rise a little more in the last couple of weeks after the censure of Cheney and Kissinger have started to challenge, I think, that base a little more. And I think this is the time that, you know, you're really seeing a lot of kind of, I see as somebody as a political observer, its impact on campaigns and what's happening across the country. And, you know, it seems like the Republican fight for its soul right now.
I think that's right. And you describe them as the good, the bad, and the ugly. So who are the good, who are the bad, and who are the ugly?
Because I think Chuck and I are the bad. I think we're the
bad. I'm always the bad.
First of all, let me just say that. I'm a Democrat, but you know, I'm probably one of the least partisan people you'll ever meet. I'm somebody who wants to.
Wait. I'm just going to push back. You were in Hancock's staff and you were in Hickenlooper's staff, not particularly bipartisan or nonpartisan.
You think Brittany Patterson, the heroin queen, is just a beautiful candidate? And same with Alien Severi.
I just got to weigh in. I mean, you're
what?
Here.
What?
You can be objective. I'll give you that. Listen, but.
Okay. I've given to Republicans, and I do want to see a vibrant Republican Party. I think we have to have it. And look, we could talk about the Democrats, too, because, you know, the Republicans have all the right issues in front of them, and they're going to have a huge year. 2022 is going to be a huge year for Republicans on a national stage and in states across the country. But the good is, I would say the bad, and it's not Trump, just Trump himself. I mean, I'm not a Trump fan. That's not as.
No,
Trump.
You're kidding.
But I think the folks that, you know, were part of the insurrection that just drink his Kool-Aid. I've seen no evidence of fraud that would have changed the election. There is no real evidence. Every court that's looked at it has tossed it out. And I think they pushed a narrative about the big lie that doesn't exist, in my view.
Okay, and then, we can talk about. I'm writing down all the things you need to. Keep going.
Julie's dribbling away.
And you know, Leader McConnell and some others that I think are starting to push back and saying enough of like the sideshow. You know, let's talk about the future. And then I think the ugly are those that, you know, bury their head in the sand. They won't answer questions about whether they believe Trump's view of the election or other things. They hide their head in the sand. They just want to get elected or reelected and are afraid to, like, take sides or say anything that would create a primary situation. And the political impact is real. I mean, you look across the country and you see the fights taking place. You see, you know, the Georgia governor's race is a good example with David Perdue running against Kemp. You see that Trump versus, you know, the establishment fight in Georgia. You see it play out in a state like Arizona where, you know, if Doug Ducey decided to run and he's not ready to run because he's afraid Trump will come in and come after him, could probably have a formidable challenge against Doug Ducey. I mean, against in that race as well. So
yeah, Kelly Ward, yeah. Kelly Ward's the head of the Republican Party.
You know,
let's go over what we agree on.
Articulate and
I agree with you on the ugly, and the ugly is personified by Heidi Gnall. Which you point out in your article. I mean, she doesn't want a good take on this side, or that she wants to talk about beautiful Colorado. I mean, she's kind of a milquetoast candidate from a way gone era that's no longer Colorado. And those who try to not take any sides really are sort of they're not physically ugly either. They tend to look nice, but underneath there's not much there. But then let's go to the bad side, which I'm part of and a card-carrying member. I disagree with your thing that the Trumpites take the Kool-Aid and they just worship Donald Trump, whatever he says. If you just watch, let's say, a rally, and I'm sure you don't watch a lot of Trump rallies, but, you know, when he says, everybody go get vaccinated, and they all start booing him. No one really cares about Donald Trump himself. Everybody realizes he's a deeply flawed person, and his flaws are just hanging out. I mean, they're not hidden very far. They're just a tweet away. But they care about his policies. They care about having the border closed. They care about having American funding the police and not necessarily
parents' rights,
schools' rights. He supports the boards. They support him because he supports them. And what you consider the good, Mitch McConnell. I mean, Mitch McConnell, they asked him, what was his agenda? I wish I had that soundbite. If when they take over the Senate, if they take over the Senate. And he said, it's a good question. I don't know. he doesn't have an agenda.
to make more money.
Yeah, none of them have agenda. And the other ones you like are Mitt Romney. Oh, there's a stand-up human being. There we go.
He wouldn't even vote today. He wouldn't even vote. It was Mitch McConnell, Murkowski, Collins, Bill Cassidy. They wouldn't even vote to ask Garland to continue to fund the Durham investigation. It's like, seriously?
And you recommending as a totally nonpartisan person, but as a Democrat recommending Romney and McConnell, it's like, I think the Democrat Party should be led by the squad. We need more AOC. You guys need to stand up for AOC and stop having you white guys, you cisgendered white guys speaking. I mean, we need the squad.
I've made it really, really clear. I'll make it as clear as possible. I am no fan of the squad. I mean, they don't represent.
Well, that's why I think you ought to do it. Right. We're no fan of Mitt Romney's. Why is it the Democrats are always telling Republicans what to do? I don't see Democrats, Republicans saying, Democrats, here's what you need to do. They never do. And it's always Democrats saying, you need to take the weakest, squishiest, most amoral degenerate you can find, and then make him the head of your party. And then we'll have a robust debate where we crush your squishies down into the ground.
So here's some, so when you focus on the issues, and here's the crux of the problem, I think, for Trump. He's still looking at the 2020 election, and you have all these great issues to run on this year. I mean, you talked about some crime, the economy, the handling of COVID, school masks, the whole thing. Republicans are in the driver's seat in 2022. They get to grade all these governors' papers on how they deal with COVID. Democrat governors in particular aren't faring well. Our current Colorado governor is the exception to that, right, but they're failing at it. But you have all these great issues. Why talk about the 2020 election?
I'll tell you why, because we ran in 2020 against a senile old fool who never left his basement, and yet he got 81 million votes miraculously. I've been part of Denver politics. I watch how you guys get votes. I know how you get votes. Ballot harvesting is the most criminal enterprise there's ever been. And so unless you look back, and unless you look what Zuckerberg did, yeah, unless you the millions that were poured into, quote unquote, government offices to fund Democratic operatives, yeah, you'll steal this one. I mean, you've been stealing elections.
Purchase it.
You've been stealing it since Tammany Hall. You've been stealing it since Jim Crow. That's all Democrats do. That's all you ever do is steal elections.
Listen, in 2020, we didn't control anything. So we weren't stealing in 2018.
It depends on who we is.
Who's we?
Yes, right. We is Mark Zuckerberg. If we is
Soros.
Well, and that's a whole other thing, because
by the way, at the end of November, when you've decimated the Democratic Party in national elections and across the country, you're not going to say were stolen elections, were you? Would you? I mean, what's going to be the difference? I mean, no evidence.
Well, like you guys, like Hillary Clinton said it was stolen when she lost. So when we win, we'll be like you guys and we'll say it was not stolen. And when we lose, we'll be like you guys and say it was stolen.
Right. Then we'll say you did it.
Exactly.
You do. Russia, Russia, Russia. Remember that? Remember Russia? How Russia put Facebook ads, how Russia did all the information, how Donald Trump was a Russian stooge and Putin helped win the election. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't totally. We've talked about this on the show before. I kind of myself sort of flip flop about Donald Trump being the candidate, and I think that's obviously no one's calling me up. But I wanted to ask you a little bit though, because you have a point. The Republicans are in control. What do you make
of anything?
Well, I mean, when you look at the national stuff today, I guess Politico got its hands on the DCCC's internal polling for Democrats, looking at basically the Democrats are on the wrong side of every issue, and they're not even remotely addressing the issue that people care about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen the stuff on that? So your party isn't exactly, I think, the same situation, one could argue, as the Republicans, right? And I would say it's both the swamp and the uniparty versus the rest of us in one way, shape, or form. But how do the Democrats, how do you guys deal with that? I mean, basically, the political article, as I understand it, was telling the candidates to lie and hope that the Republicans didn't notice.
Just stupid to notice.
Yeah.
Which is valid.
I mean, how do you guys deal with that?
So, I mean, first of all, I'm not involved in the Democratic Party whatsoever.
Let me
just clarify.
Yeah.
And I think they have done a really, really poor job of messaging. And I think they have teed up some issues that I don't think they're going to work on the way they message the economy. They're going to work on, how we compete better with China and the rest of it. But you and I both feel the price is going up. And the impact that's having.
Right.
Did I lose you there?
No, we can, you froze a little bit. We can hear. Sometimes the audio or the video freezes, but the audio keeps going.
Yeah, sorry. It comes up. My internet is unstable, so I apologize.
No worries.
But anyway, I mean, I think the Democrats are going to have a hard time messaging this election because, you know, there's so much there's so much you can shoot at as a Republican. And look, if I didn't have to be part of a party, I wouldn't be. I'd be independent. I affiliate as a Democrat, but I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with their approach to crime. I see its impact here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm frustrated when we reduce penalties for, you know, fentanyl to 4 grams, which could kill 2,000 people, is a misdemeanor. Heroin, you know, 4 grams or less is a misdemeanor. There's a reason why we have problems in this city right now.
Right.
And Democrats are going to pay the price. They're going to have to pay the price the more they, you know, push on oil companies and we have less energy independence and our prices go up. You know, this is the impact of our political decisions. And I think that's going to be an issue for Democrats in Colorado. And it clearly is going to be an issue for Democrats across the country. And you see it playing out in New Jersey's race, governor's race. You saw it, obviously, in Virginia. You're seeing it in New York mayor's race. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
But locally, it is not writing's on the wall because, Colorado. As Stalin said, it's not who votes, it's who gets to count the votes. And who gets to count the votes in ballot harvesting, and I've done lots of ballot harvesting, is the harvester. The harvester gets to vote because he gets to tell you, hey, you want to come to a party, you want to go here, or else you have people, which the Democratic Party is infamous for in Boulder, going dumpster diving as all the ballots go in there, and then they get to fill them all out any way they want to. Ballot harvesting is the biggest corrupting element. Without that, I think Republicans would have a very good chance in some state offices like Secretary of State or Attorney General.
I think they're going to have a chance in a number of these state elected offices and races this year.
Do you really? I think we can all agree, probably not governor would be my guess. I would also say probably not Michael Bennett. I'm not overwhelmingly worried. I mean, worried? handicap the Senate race for us.
Well, look, Bennett's had a lot of close races along the way. I think he will have a close race this time. I think I would tell you, I think Polis is safe, but I think every other state elected official is not. I think Republicans have a shot at the state Senate. I think they have no shot at the state House. I mean, the numbers are too dramatically in favor of Democrats, but I do think all of it's going to be in play. Look at the Aurora City Council election.
Right. Westminster City Council flipped too. You know, when the Westminster City Council flipped, I'm not sure what it was going on in Aurora, but in Westminster, it was largely because it was these progressive policies that we have, like the highest water. Our water bill went from roughly 170, 200 bucks in the summer, right, to over 600. Right. Just in one summer. And I think it goes back to what you were talking about earlier. The Democrats have a problem. I don't think people in Westminster particularly cared Republican, Democrat. They just wanted somebody who was going to say, I'm going to address the water issue.
And so the Republican majority quickly sold them out to developers. for a huge development one, which you probably represented them in. You were one of the keys in destroying Jamie Gillis. In her fight against the hideous mayor,
she was a Denver,
Denver
mayoral candidate.
Mayoral candidate, and Doug and helped destroy her.
Was destroyed. She just got beat.
Well, she was turned into a Ku Klux Klan member by these guys. She was a white supremacist from hell. I mean, they did a tap dance all over her. What corrupt, amoral, bought off person do you think ought to be mayor in 2023?
Well, I think the bigger question is who's not going to run, right?
Yeah, Chuck is running.
I'm running, and I live in Westminster. That shouldn't be a problem.
I don't know. I think it's too early a handicap. I think you're going to see a number of legislators probably run. You know, term limits gives us the gift of everybody's looking for their next job, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, they can't just send their same job forever, so they have to find another thing they can run for.
Tay Anderson. He's like,
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I it's hard to predict this early, but I think you'll probably see 20-25 candidates run. I think it'll be like 12 years ago when there were 15-17 candidates.
That's right.
Well, I think last time 12 ran. I think there were 12.
The original, in his first race, I think there were like 15 candidates. Mm-hmm.
What about for Democrat president? I mean, you see Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know,
she's back.
Seems to be making a push. And I mean, I don't know. Two questions. Do you see Biden or Kamala Harris? Because I don't. And I mean, Kamala will probably get kidnapped in Ukraine is their answer. That's why they sent her over there. But do you, I mean, who do you see? You know, we talk about Trump a lot in the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, but what about Democrats?
I don't know. I think Democrats have to think outside the box. I mean, I think Trump will be the nominee.
Yeah.
And I think he will be odds on to win, especially against Biden.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And Harris, I think, is a non-starter. I think the Democrats have to come up with some fresh blood and think outside the box, because all the individuals in that mix, I don't see any of them being Donald Trump.
What about Jared Polis? That's what I think.
I think Polis has the potential of, I think he's got a path if he wants to run. I think there's a few interesting governors. Governor Murphy in New Jersey, Governor Cooper, North Carolina, a guy who's been successful economically in a southern state, is led with a Republican legislature and done a good job. I think Polis's libertarian streak really kind of is attractive to a lot of people. I think he deserves a lot of credit for, you know, dropping off his public health order long before any other Democrat did.
Oh, yeah, he was brilliant on that. I think the other thing he's doing that's
and he's managed to avoid the fact that under his order, he managed to kill 43% of all small businesses.
Yeah, he's like getting rid of the gasoline tax that he put in on the. But I mean, he's smart.
And then he gets rid of his mask mandate for all wearing masks, because for all the front range were on local mandates. He said local authorities on his side. But he is politically smart, went to Princeton. I mean, he's a bright. He's a bright guy. And I think Murphy's an idiot, but I think Cooper in North Carolina has always impressed me. And I thought he'd be a good, if the Democrats had somebody, he'd be a good candidate.
Well, and he's likable. And like I said, they've had great economic growth in North Carolina. I mean, I think they need to start looking at governors, not senators. I mean, I think they need to look at executives. You know, some of the strongest presidents, whether it was Reagan or I even think Clinton, you know, they were executives. They ran things. It wasn't just pushing policies without understanding the application so much. But
let me ask you this. I mean, you mentioned Reagan and Lincoln as part of the Gettysburg Brigade in your article.
Reagan was the reason why I got interested in politics, by the way.
Who was?
Reagan.
How so?
Because you hated him?
I loved him. I wrote him a letter when I was 15 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was a huge fan of his. So,
did he write you back, or what is it that you liked about him?
I just, you know, I'll never forget. So my interest started because we shared the same birthday a few years earlier. But, you know, I remember him talking about the Vietnam War, and he said America should never fight a war they don't intend to win. And I was young enough, I was always interested in politics, and that stuck with me my whole life. You know, just the, you can't, whether it's Ukraine, whatever we do, we got to be committed, and we have to have a justification for what we're doing.
Because, you know, I was around when Reagan ran, and the people called him just an old fool.
He was just in seventh grade, though.
I was in the womb, but and they mocked him, and they belittled him. And now every rhino I know loves Reagan. And they'll go, oh, God, wasn't he great? Peter Boyles goes on about Reagan. And all Barbara Kirkmeier, who's probably is running for CD8. You know, she hates Trump, but she goes, I love Reagan. I just love Reagan. You kind of go, why do all you squishes love Reagan, who really was kind of considered far right? I mean, very far right when he ran. I mean, everybody in the Squish Brigade loved George H.W. Bush, and they hated Reagan. But
he won the Cold War. I mean, Ronald Reagan won the Cold War.
That's true.
Ronald Reagan fought for the national security of this country. Ronald Reagan had a vision Americans could relate to and liked. I mean, that's missing in politics today. There's no unifying.
Well, how did you become a Democrat then? What happened to you?
Okay. What's that?
What car hit you that caused you to become a Democrat?
Well, I'm a moderate guy. I'm still the same person, but, you know, the issues I care about are the same issues you care about. We probably just see them differently.
You know, actually, I would on that, I would, because I used to be a Democrat forever, right? I told Chuck, I remember, and I know all the guys.
Have no idea how many waterboard sessions it took her to become a conservative.
I almost cried when Hillary Clinton decided not to run for president, you know, the first time around, right? And so then, of course, I met Chuck, and yeah, he waterboarded me. And I, but for the exact same reason you just said, though, because we do care about the same things. And I turn and look, and the Democrats are like, get rid of the police. If you disagree with me, now we've got in Canada, we're going to freeze your bank account.
That's a nice
we
message.
Want to censor. I mean, we were banned from YouTube months ago. Months ago, we were banned from YouTube for saying the exact same things that now the CDC is saying. I mean, but Democrats are like, that's okay. I mean, that's what the survey said. They're too judgmental. They're too cancel culture. They don't understand what people care about. And they're too preachy. Only I became a Republican then. So have you thought about that?
Well, listen, I'm not comfortable in this Democratic Party today. I'm not comfortable with how far to the left we've gone at all. And I think we need a separate conversation. I think we need a major third party, a new third party. It's best.
Let me now. One of our callers, Charlene, has raised her hand in Zoom. So Charlene.
Sorry.
You're on with Chuck and Julie and Doug Friednash.
Okay. Can I just say that your guest is very attractive and very well-spoken?
You can.
He's available, you know. Are you still single?
Yes, you have been. Hello.
I would just say that Democrats have destroyed their brand so thoroughly, they are rebranding themselves as libertarians and independents. That is what this man is doing right now. It's very smart, but it's not working, even though he is nice looking and presents well. Here's the thing. You have people starting fires. They burn it down. They come back. They go, hey, I'm the fireman. Most people go, oh, thanks, you're the fireman. You're going to put it out. But smart people say, no, you're the one that started the fire. And that's what these Democrats have done. So it's going to be hard to rebrand yourself if anyone is paying attention. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlene.
All right, thanks, Charlene. You know, and actually she says exactly what some of the columns that I was reading were saying in talking about where the Democrat Party is from this internal polling. And it's exactly that. It was basically telling the Democrats, you need to say the things you've been saying, Doug, whether you believe them or not. And it was saying, then the counterpoint was just what Charlene said. It's like, if Republicans are stupid enough to stop their attacks and say, oh, I guess they're reasonable now, then they deserve to lose too. So,
well, let Doug respond to that. That's only fair.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I think the Republicans, the challenge for Republicans is you're going to lose some races that you shouldn't lose because of the infighting, the impact it's having, and kind of directionally focusing on things that, you know, are you should avoid focusing on. I mean, I think and I understand where you're at, but, you know, if you focus on the issues and, you know, are able to let, as you call them, rhinos, compete in some seats that they could win in, I think you'll have better results.
But what do we get at the
end? Yeah, you get nothing. I mean, they vote for Democrats. So.
I mean, if there are people running. I mean, Pam Anderson's a Democrat, and she's ran for Secretary of State. And if you look in Missouri, they're going to go to rank voting because so many rhinos want to help out the Democratic Party. So unless you get people with some kind of background and some kind of backbone, you may win an election, but what have you won? I mean, if we get Mitt Romney, what have you won? Not much. Well, not much.
Yeah. I understand where you're at.
All right.
Doug, you're great. We love having you on and appreciate it. And you really are a breath of fresh air, and it's great to talk to you.
Likewise. I always appreciate talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Doug Friednash there, everybody. Thank you very much, sir. You can read his columns at the Denver Post. He is, you know, I mean, I disagree with a lot of what he says, but he always is
very articulate.
Right. Exactly. And Leo is saying, thank you, Doug. Yeah. We had a ton of comments there, guys. We can, if you want to go ahead, you can we're going to kind of open it up right now. But I wanted to just briefly talk about, because I think there is good news. And I think Doug makes a really good point. In terms of if you're Republicans, I think you need to be strategic without caving in on your principles, right? But here are just some of the things. So they did a poll. This is an internal Democrat poll, which is one of the reasons none of them like COVID anymore. But the voters in swing states said basically the Democrats were too preachy, too judgmental, and too focused on what they were calling cultural wars. Most of the swing voters agreed with the statement that the Democrats have taken things too far in the pandemic response. They agreed with the statement that the Democrats have created a border crisis. They agreed with the statement that Democrats support defunding police and taking cops off of streets. They agreed with the statements that the Democrats are spending out of control. They agreed with the statement, and this is tricky for them, that the Democrats are teaching people like five-year-olds critical race theory, which teaches Americans that America and white people are racist. And they're also saying the Democrats are too focused on pursuing an agenda that divides us and judges people who don't see things their way. So, you know, Biden was supposed to be the great unifier, right? And everything that's happened is bad, bad news for the Democrats. But I think, again, one of the columnists was saying, well, what they advised, the DCCC, Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, was basically telling its candidates to get out there and lie. Okay, even though you are for defunding the police, and even though you are for out of control spending, say you're not, and hope that the Republicans don't attack you.
I've known Doug for a long time. I think he's being totally honest. But I agree. I think that's the Democrats will come. They're happy to lie to you. They're just absolutely happy. And Republicans are dumb enough to go, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, so don't. Okay. Well, to just say we're going to run a nice campaign. I think that day and age in the Republican Party, at least for some people, has ended. I mean, like I said, you've got people like Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, not voting to get rid of to end the mask vaccine mandates, right?
Lindsey Graham, who was all on making sure that the Mueller investigation was not impinged upon and not tainted in any way by Republicans, and that we had to leave him alone, refused to sign on for the same thing on Durham. So
right,
just figure it out.
Ben is texting me, and feel free, guys, if you want to. Ben is texting me. Those two are unabashed never Trumpers. How are their ratings? I think that. I'm not sure why. I think that there must be a faction, Chuck, tell me what you think, in the Republican Party, the RINO portion of it, because all of a sudden McConnell, he could have kept quiet about the insurrection, which it was a Fed-surrection is what it was. He could have kept quiet about that. They could have voted. Why are they not voting the vaccine mandate? I mean, nobody likes it anymore. Even the courts don't like it. What do you think is going on? I mean, all of a sudden Mitch McConnell, he could have kept quiet, comes out in support of Liz Cheney. Who doesn't stand a chance? What do you think is going on that there seems to be sort of this growing, I don't know what, there seem to be making, they've been hiding forever, right? And now all of a sudden they're kind of coming out of the woodwork again.
Well, I think there is, and it's particularly strong in Colorado, and having gone around the state with Ben and Peg and some others, there is a strong RINO wing to the Republican Party in Colorado, and there may be in other places. And so I think they McConnell and all the other ones know they're not going to be heading up the Trump side. So why not try to see if you can help the the other side, and you can get all kinds of money. He can get all kinds of money.
So it comes down to money,
commerce,
right?
Well, it's money and power. I mean,
right.
And the two always go together. I mean, congressmen make $174,000. I don't forget what senators make, and they're all multimillionaires. Well, how'd that happen? Well, yeah. Trade by,
Nancy Pelosi. It's okay for them to do insider trading.
Well, of course,
it's okay for them to do that, and their families to make money. And one thing, just an aside, you never hear about is the grand jury investigation into Hunter Biden is still going on, right? They're still involved. It's like you never hear about that anymore. Want to talk a little bit then? Want to switch gears and talk about the Alpha Bank situation
sure,
and stuff?
Sure.
So I'm sure we've been talked about it a lot on our show. You guys are all aware of it. The Durham investigation has been dropping. I mean, essentially, just take it for granted anymore, an assumption or for truth, that if the Democrats are calling something a conspiracy theory today and a crazy conspiracy theory, and you're getting banned for it, in a matter of months, it's going to be proven to be true, okay? Including the Russia Spygate hoax. We now know, even though Hillary Clinton says, it's just fake news, that, they were spying on Trump. And by spying on him, and I want to be clear, because I think sometimes stuff gets lost. They weren't spying on him and finding actual information about him colluding with Russia. They were spying on him to get bits and pieces of information that they could then cobble together to come up with a fake story that they then peddled to the FBI, who was happy to get it, the CIA, the Clinton campaign, the media. So they made up a fake story. So, and not
well,
only
what
that-
really was is this metadata. Metadata doesn't tell you what's in it, but it tells you who's contacting who. And so it was able to take metadata, which is not available. You cannot just say, hey, I wonder who's contacting the White House vis-a-vis the internet. So you can't just find that out by going on Google. You have to have a capacity where the NSA allows it.
Yeah, and that's so, the thing.
And so they were kind of, well, look at all the, you know, this is...
There's this Russian server at Alpha Bank that's like, you know... And again, which means nothing.
I mean, if you take their word for it, there's endless what it was called queries into what's the internet IP for the White House and stuff, and 2,000 times or something. You kind of go, that's a lot.
Well, number one, they could have done it themselves, and number two, they were saying it. There was enough of it that there was an assumption that it was just spam, right? But if you remember back in 2018,
but even that spam requires a federal contractor to find out. Well, is who's contacting the White House? Who's the White House contacting? Were they in touch? Which you didn't learn a lot. Law enforcement loves that, and so the one thing that Durham report goes, no, that was all data mined illegally out of Georgia Tech, who had a contract.
And none of it was true. And I mean, that's a key part. None of it was true. So we played earlier the soundbite with all of the mainstream media people, the corporate media people saying Trump was never spied on, never spied on, never spied on. Well, he was spied on. And now talk about a little bit about the Alpha Bank thing, too, because they were saying, oh, that's true. There's some kind of weird connection here.
Yeah, MSNBC, Chris Hayes. Rachel Maddow, I mean, do we have that little one?
We do.
Oh, let's play it.
Set it up first so they understand
it. Okay. So, you know, a couple of tech people we're called independent people just trying to police the net and be good guys and political nerds and all that. And they discovered all these suspicious links. And so it was going to be, hey, wow, what do these make? And so they'd go on all the shows. I wrote an article in 2016, then a 7,000-word one in The New Yorker in 2018. And all the shows, look at this, you know, and they always kind of, we're not totally sure, but this is
well, yeah, it's funny suspicious. When you look at it, I was going back doing the research, like, we're not sure what this means, and it's really complicated, but it means that Trump is spying on Russia. And so, Thomas, if we could please play the Alpha Bank soundbite.
I mean, what more evidence do you need? It's very, very obvious, and it's really Occam's razor here. The fact that we still have not been able to rule out the idea that this was a covert communication channel 2 years after the fact that no one has come forth with a plausible explanation for why this was happening, for why Alpha Bank was one of three organizations communicating with the Trump server in those months leading up to the election, is just completely remarkable. And I think the fact that Frank's story got overlooked or criticized as much as it did, and the fact that now it's being revisited and you have the editor of the New York Times saying that there, you know, was a story there, just shows the lack of imagination.
Yeah, no, there was no lack of imagination. There was that's the problem. But you said, how could it be more obvious? It's like, well, it was made up.
Kimberly Strassel in the Wall Street Journal wrote an article saying this is, when you get down to it, after looking at the Durham indictments, you have the exact same cast of characters. Yeah. Instead of Steele, you have Jaffe, who was a crook from mail scams, and you have the Georgia Tech people. But they all went to the same people. They all went to Mark Elias. They went to Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS pushed it. And the Clinton campaign pushed it. Jake Sullivan, who's a national security advisor, pushed it. The exact same people, all the exact people on the pushing side were exactly the same. And it was the same result. I mean, they weren't quite as successful because the FBI, for whatever reason, didn't bite into that one as much. But they certainly were able to get it on TV and everything else many, many times on MSNBC.
Well, and it's the same then when you turn around, it is the same exact playbook that they're doing with the January 6th stuff, right? If you, and again, I go back, and Mark Elias, his fingerprints are all over this too. He's a former Perkins Coie Democrat strategist guy who came up with the Russia hoax, I think was probably involved with the Spygate thing, the Alpha Bank thing, all of that. And now he's peddling the whole, and they're pushing the whole January 6th thing, as we've talked about before, because they want to use the 14th Amendment and say, well, anyone who does not absolutely slam down and cast out as evil and horrible, anybody who was there or supported the people on January 6th is not going to be able to run for office because they're a domestic terrorist. I mean, it's the same playbook. They're taking something that's not true. They're taking something that they manufactured. When you look at all of the stuff with the feds involved and the FBI informants and all of that. So they've done all of that. And now they're turning it around to use again in the upcoming election. And I like Doug Friedenash, but when he says, oh, people shouldn't talk about the 2020 election, there's a reason that they keep telling us don't talk about it, and they keep making fun of people. And again, you know, we can
all
talk.
Right, we got Jacob that raised his hand. And so why don't you come on up, Jacob.
Jacob, well, thank you for raising your hand. Welcome to the show.
I'm coming. Okay. Was it Mike Meadows who was chief of staff?
Mark.
Yeah. Okay. He went to court saying that this is not the January 6th commission is not legal or constitutional because there's only two members of the Republicans and there's six members of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And that the subpoena that they sent him isn't good. Whatever happened to that?
Well, I'm sure it got squashed. I'm sure that, you know, you're in the D.C. circuit. Who do you go to that isn't an Obama appointee?
And I get the impression, Jacob, they don't care. Right. I mean, they just don't care. They're going forward and they're using the corporate media
that's fine. That's fine. I understand it. But the courts haven't ruled on Meadows yet. They could be subpoenaing everybody. If the court comes back and says that Meadows is right, this whole thing goes down the toilet.
What's likely to happen is that the court will say, we don't want to get involved in the internal politics of the Senate. Yeah. And therefore, we abstain from making any ruling on it for independence of the branches.
Right. And I bring this up because look what happened to Sarah Palin. The judge came out and says he's going to dismiss the case, even though he didn't hear from the jury yet. You think the jury didn't hear that yet? They weren't sequestered.
Yeah,
they
did. Have you seen the reports? No. Several of the jurors, because they have their little iPhones, they got like push notifications because that was making headlines, right? No,
right.
Was acknowledged that they saw that. But Jacob, you'll be glad to know that they said it did not impact their decision.
No.
Well, let's see what the appeals court says.
Yeah.
Well, that's a D.C. circuit. So that's, that's the New York one. Second. Maybe.
Yeah, okay. The other thing was with Friedenash, I wanted to know how many contracts he signed with Sequoia Pacific and Dominion. Because I worked at the at least, you know, I would have, because I worked at the city when he signed them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'd like to see him admit that, you know.
I didn't know that. We would have asked him. Well, we'll try to get him back on again and ask him.
Yeah.
You know, again, we've learned the more the Democrats jump up and down and scream, and the more they try to silence you, and the more they shout at you for being fake news and misinformation, the more it's true, basically.
Yeah. Well, Durham proved that when he smacked down Sussman yesterday.
Yeah.
Sussman, you know, and who knows? I mean, we have to see if there's any indictments after this, but we'll see.
We'll see. I'm hopeful. I don't think it'll go to Hillary Clinton, but hey, Jacob, thank you.
No. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Anybody else wants to talk, go ahead and just unmute yourself or raise your hand. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Back to the election thing again. We wanted to briefly talk about Tina Peters because she's getting slammed all over the place again by the corporate media and by the Rhino lackeys, basically. And when you go back to when you read the stories, they talk about she's pushing the big lie. Keep in mind, they're assuming, they're just saying it's a lie. right? And so don't buy that. It's not a lie. First, if you were to say, like, even to somebody like Peter, well, what specifically was the lie? Was it a lie that there was no ballot harvesting? No, that's true. Was it a lie that there weren't people, there weren't questions about votes coming in, about counting, et cetera, et cetera? No, that's true. We don't know what the answers are because the Democrats won't let anybody do any audits.
And because they have Republicans like Vox, the Speaker in Wisconsin, and Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia, were really Democrats. And that's what, you know, Tina Peters, at least, is a Republican. Pam Anderson is not. She headed what's called Civic.
Zuckerberg's deal.
Yeah, Zuckerberg's deal. She's about as far left as they go. And she, oh, I'll be bipartisan. She's not bipartisan. She's a lefty. She's
well,
a total
I mean, any,
lefty.
Any
so either you get Jenna Griswold, who's a total crook, or you get, or your choice is Tina Peters. Or, not Tina Peters.
Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson. And Pam Anderson was on Peter's show. Pam Anderson is just an absolute Trojan horse. And yet there's Peter just pushing along. Oh, God, bipartisan.
Well, and again, and so read with a skeptical mind the stuff about Tina Peters, because they just kind of go off into big lie, and mm-hmm. they just kind of like she's some nut job. And again, I go back to all she did that Jenna Griswold is mad about, and a couple of other clerk and recorders did this too. All she did was back up the files of the 2020 election before Jenna Griswold literally came in and deleted them. So what's the problem with that? Tina Peters' point or her claim is, as the elected clerk and recorder, I had the right to do that. I didn't do anything wrong. And I said, again, you know, they arrest her. They make a big deal. She's arrested. And she kicked a cop and blah, blah, blah. And then take a look. And well, what was she arrested for? She was arrested for allegedly using her iPad to tape a court hearing. Well, plenty of people have been called out by the judge for taping things in courtrooms that I have personally witnessed, as I keep saying, including John Hickenlooper's ex-wife. Nobody got arrested. Nobody had their iPad seized. The judge explained to them you couldn't do that. They said, okay, and everybody went on.
Yeah, well, it's typical. I mean, you got to give Jenna Griswold credit. When the best defense is good offense.
Now she's suing. Now, so Tina Peters and those guys are suing her.
Ron Hanks.
Now she's suing Tina Peters again, right?
Well, yeah, sure. So it's great. And having, let's see, I need a hand running.
Question from Dr. Donna.
New district king for district check. Who can we trust to get those?
So we'll read it so people can hear. Dr. Don is saying, I need a hand running some numbers in a new district after redistricting. Chuck, who can I trust to get those demographic numbers from? You know, it'd be kind of interesting, Dr. Donna, you could get them from the Soros-funded Democrat operative organization, Eric.
You can get it from the Secretary of State. Those are probably accurate. There's no reason to want them to be inaccurate. So you can get secretary. You might be able to get them from the clerk and recorder of the county, which the district is in, but the Secretary of State would be the one who would normally have the information.
But what about, the clerking of the, because yeah,
well,
if you're
a
district,
districts are more
districts.
Are in several counties. And so I would go to the Secretary of State.
But Dr. Donna, that's a good point, because that's why things like Zuckerberg's money matter so much, right? Because I'm going to just go out on a limb here and bet for you to get those numbers in any kind of meaningful way, it's going to cost money. And when you've got somebody like Zuckerberg funneling money to specific Democrat candidates, Democrat organizations to do that work for them, right? So then they find out, okay, well, where are the Democrat voters? When they've got millions of dollars coming in on their side to do that, Chuck, and we've got nobody basically to do it. I mean, that has an impact on the election. And that's not the big lie. That's the big fact, really.
Well, it is interesting why the Democrats want you, and Peter doesn't want you, to look back at the election. I mean, why wouldn't you if it was stolen? And it clearly was stolen. It clearly was bought, paid for. They did
purchased,
everything.
I think
purchased.
Is a good, yeah.
Purchased. You have to look, or they'll do it again.
Well, you'd think they would want us to look back if from their point to prove it wasn't stolen, and then they could really make fun of you, right?
Yeah,
and say,
right,
it's totally not true. Instead, again, they jump up and down, and Dr. Donna was saying, at least it gets their blood flowing. They jump up and down saying, you can't look here, you can't look here, you can't look here. Now, I was an investigative reporter for a lot of years. The instant somebody says, you can't ask that question, you can't look here, and then they start like saying, we're going to sue you if you ask that question, all of that, you're like, well, it seems to me like maybe that's
Jacob
a question I should be
asking. Jacob has his hand up again. Jacob, what's up?
I don't know. I think it just stays raised.
Just stays raised?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I have to unraise my hand. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, okay. There. Well, whatever you did it there.
Perfect.
I didn't do anything.
Oh,
no, just, I mean, I was asking how many judges were reelected through ballot harvesting. You know, you got to go to the core.
Good point.
You got to go to the core. So, but okay. I'm sorry.
Right, thank you. Have a good weekend. You said you wanted to talk about Tina Peters. We've got a few more minutes left, Chuck.
We got a couple. Yeah, I think Tina Peters is a great candidate. I'm going to support her to every extent I can. And I think they've totally, they really went after her, as they do any decent, honorable clerk. And so if Peter's against her, we're for her. Well, right now, I mean, you know, we love Peter, but he supports establishment candidates. He'll tell you that. I mean, he makes no qualms about it. He'll support Rhino establishment candidates.
Well, and I will agree with Doug, though, on one thing. And that is
a lot of things,
if but. You're if you're a Republican candidate, oh, I'm more of just a Republican like us on this show, and you want to talk about the election, you have to be very strategic, I think, in how you talk about it. And don't let them frame the words. Don't let them twist it around so it becomes all about this other stuff. I think you need to be ready to talk about what you're going to say. You need to say, well, here are the specific questions I have, here are the specific issues I have, here are the specific impacts that I can prove to you, and don't call it the big steal or anything like that, right? I think that you fall into their trap.
You're going to fall in a trap and just fight it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You need to be prepared to fight it, because I do think Republicans have a good chance. And what we have to do, I think they're right, is just to be smart and to be on the attack. We don't need any Republicans saying, well, we're going to be nice to those Democrats now and give them a pass for defunding the police, teaching our kids that they're racist at 5 years old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
If somebody steals election and you don't fight about it, they'll steal it again and again and again. Democrats don't want you to talk about what happened in 2020, and that's all the more reason to talk about it.
Evan, this from Charlene. I'll be mailing Tina a check. It's hard to have donors who support via check. Well, and again, you know, the hacking thing, you know, guys, that's just another attempt to intimidate you and to harass you. We need to be prepared. That's what they're going to do. They've been doing it for years. That's their thing. The good news is, though, again, you look at their internal polling, the average American out there doesn't like it. The average American sort of thinks you should be able to support a trucker convoy if you want to, and not have people camped out on your doorstep.
I think somebody was right about what the reaction was going to
be. Chuck was like, Trudeau's going to crush them. I was like, no, and you were right on that. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us for a Party Friday. Chuck for us off to the ballet, Leo, for the first time in a while. So that will do it for us. Thank you to BBS, Doug Friednash. We love all of you guys on Zoom. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, you can catch all of the shows, podcast and video. I'm just going to chuckandjulie.com, but we're also on Podbean, Alexa, Rumble, Substack. We're there too. And he's calling his friends. We're still on the show. We'll see you all Monday. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Take care.